to go into God's word.
Yes.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, Father God, for those that are here in the sanctuary, Father God, those that are viewing other places. We thank you for that. And Father God, I pray that everyone will have open ears to hear and an open heart to receive your word, because we know that your word would never, ever, ever, ever return to you void. Hallelujah. So we thank you for that. I thank you for glory to your name. Glory to your name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I want to go back again pretty much where I left off. I may touch on some things again that I touched on this past Wednesday. On back to the basics, or you can say it this way, shoring up the foundation. Because the foundations of our faith are vital.
Amen.
It's vital. And one of the things we need to be mindful of is that not everybody sometimes we find that some have ulterior motives for preaching God's word. The only reason you should preach God's word, first beginning as a minister anyway, is because you're called.
Amen.
Called by God himself. Called by the Lord Jesus Christ. This word right here, this word is precious.
Amen.
Y'all agree with me?
Amen.
Yeah, this word is precious. Amen. And it's God's word. And so we have to preach it accurately, and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as we preach it now, but it doesn't stop with us. All of us need to know the word of God. We can share this word with others.
Amen.
It is indeed the word of life. It is the word of life for the spirit, for the soul, and for the body. Amen. Amen. So you should love the word of God. All of us should love the word of God. And we should have it as our daily bread.
Amen.
Not once a week bread, once a month, every now and then, Mother's Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, Easter. No, it should be every day that we walk in God's word. But there are many distractions out there. So, but when our foundation is sure and solid, it doesn't matter how hard the wind blow, doesn't matter how hard the downpours, we're stable because we're rooted and grounded in God's word. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Last time, I believe, I tell you what, let's do. I'm going to put my ribbon here because we're coming back. But let's go back to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And I just want to read a little bit to you, beginning at verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom." And just grab a hold of that. He said, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but what should our faith be in? The power of God." Amen. But then he went on in verse 6 to say, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are what?
Mature."
Who?
Mature.
"We speak wisdom among those who are mature." Now that tells us then that in the body of Christ, you have folk with all different levels of spiritual growth. And I've told you this, I've ministered this, but in the body of Christ, just it's the same as it is in the natural. You have babies, you know, little small babies, then you have the toddlers, and then just goes on up from there. Teenagers, young adults, and but we're speaking now spiritually. Right?
Amen.
And so, you know, we understand that some should be adults, but they're still babies. And I don't want to re-preach all that again, but we got to, let me say this much to you, and we moving on, but we must get beyond. I mean, you know, if we've been saved 40 years, 50 years, or even less than that. You know, if someone hurt your feelings, you know, don't start crying and asking for your bottle. Amen.
Amen.
If there's one thing we need to get in, put in subjection to our spirits as we mature in God, is our feelings.
Amen.
Okay. So, let's go back to verse 6. "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to what?
Nothing.
Everything that's of the world is coming to nothing. You hear me? Verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." And I could read on, but I'll stop right there. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, let's go to the book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Hebrews, the 5th chapter. And let's go back again to verse 12. And the writer here is, he's talking to the believers here, and he's telling them, he said, listen, this is verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. One of the things, I've been around a long time, folks. I was born again in 1969. I gave my heart to the Lord. He came into my life, changed my life, and I haven't been the same since. Never will I be again. He changed my life. So I've seen some things over the years, and of course, as a minister as well. There's a thing called backsliding. And everybody heard of backsliding. And usually when we think of backsliding, we think of someone that at one time was walking with the Lord, and now they are back in the world. Okay? Well, let me tell you something. If they back in the world, doing the things, living the way they used to, they backslid. Okay, they back out in the world. But when you're sliding, it's a progressive thing. If you're backsliding, it's just what I said. You're going backwards, slowly. And sometime as you go, the pace picks up. And I say you, I'm not talking to you, I'm just speaking in general. And we see this happening to these folks here. He says, listen, you've heard the word of God, and you should be to a place where you're teaching others and being a good example to others, but you still need the milk of the word, because you can't handle meat. It'll choke you. Okay? It will choke you. Now, here's what can happen here. Two things can happen. You can be in a backslidden condition, and whereas you used to enjoy meat, the meat of the world, the word, excuse me. But the cares of this world took over, and you find yourself sliding backwards to where you used to be. And we talked about Jesus last week, and I won't go into that, but we can look, we won't go again this week, but we can look at Jesus and how the devil tempted him or tried to get him to yield to the temptations that he was offering him. And he offered him the world, didn't he? He offered him the world. I'm so glad Jesus didn't take him up on it. Amen. Amen. Now, secondly, some folks never ever grow to the place where they can eat the meat. They just stay in the babyhood stage of spirituality year after year after year after year. How many of you know we should be growing in Christ?
Amen.
All of us. Amen. I've been saved a long time. Can I tell you something? I'm still growing. And I'm determined that I'll never stop growing until I check out of here one day, or Jesus comes back first. Amen. The moment you think you know it all, you just messed up, because now you're deceiving yourself.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And we don't want to get to that place where we're deceiving ourselves into thinking that we know it all. But we should grow enough to know and be able to discern what's good and what's not.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you right now, and you've heard me say it before, I don't want any and everybody teaching me.
Amen.
And I don't say that because I think I'm better than anybody. I'm not. But not everybody served good food. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I like to say it this way. I will always, till I leave this earth, I will always remain teachable. Y'all have heard me say that, haven't you?
Amen.
I'll always remain teachable, but I choose my teachers wisely.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to walk close enough to God that if something comes down the pipe that doesn't line up with God's word, I know it right on the inside. Or either I may know it because I got enough of the word of God in me that I recognize, boom, that's not right. That's not right. But I know on the inside of me, something's not right here. I may not be able to tell you exactly what it is, but I know something's not right. All of us as believers need to be willing to grow to that point where you may not can explain it, but you know it's not good food.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. All right, you have Hebrews chapter 5. All right, look at verse 12 again. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. How many of you know you can't teach what you don't understand?
Amen.
Amen. Say it another way, you can't teach what you don't know.
Amen.
Let's read on. For everyone, this is verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe or a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those by reason of use have their what? I know we've been here before, but I'm going here again. Having their senses exercised. Man, you've heard the word, and you fed on the word till, like I said earlier, if something's not right, boom, you pick it up. You may not can always explain it, but you know something's wrong here. As I've heard it said, one guy that I think I first Amen. All right. So by reason, verse 14 again, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And we are living in a time right now where we need to be able to discern both good and evil. What do you mean? Be able to discern that that God approves of and that that he does not. You listening? Amen. Just because it's coming from up here, when I say up here, I'm talking about from the pulpit in general, speaking in general terms, does not make it right. Amen. And now I'm not being judgmental. The body, many in the body of Christ depend on the minister for everything. When God has called all of us to learn his word and get to know his word. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that we've all been made ministers of reconciliation. In other words, we all are supposed to be able to help someone else. We all are supposed to be able to speak a word in due season that's going to bless somebody's life. If they are hurting, we should be able to put our arms around them or on their shoulder and say, listen, let me tell you something. It's going to be all right. And this is the reason why. And this is what you need to do. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus taught his disciples, he trained his disciples to go forth with the word that he gave them. He told them, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Because he said, I'm not going to be here with you. I'm going away to my Father. You go and preach the gospel. You go and tell others about me. You go and let other folk know you don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to remain in the condition that you are in right now. I know a Savior. I know someone that loves you.
Yeah.
May I pray for you? Over the years, I've laid my hands on many people and prayed for them, and I thank God for that privilege and honor of laying hands on the sick or whatever the case may be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says the believer. How many believers do I have in here? Raise your hand. Amen. Now, if you're watching me out there, if you're a believer, raise your hand too. Glory to God. Right? Keep your hand up. Now, let me tell you what the Bible says. The believer, those that believe, shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Thank you. Talking about the body of Christ working together. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Now, verse 6, chapter 6, excuse me. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Hallelujah. Dead works. Anything that is dead is lifeless. There's no life in it. The things we used to do before we got saved, it was lifeless. As far as God is concerned, it had no spiritual value when we used to do the things that pleased us. Okay? But not only that, even in the church sometime, we can find ourselves being religious. Let me explain that a moment. In other words, we are working, but we have no relationship. Or another better way of saying it, no fellowship. Because if you're born again, you have relationship, you're God's child. Amen? But sometimes you can be out of fellowship. Now, sometimes folks will come to church and they'll work, and that's needed. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's needed. Dear Lord, it's needed. We need more workers in the church. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We need more people to commit to work in the church and to help bring the vision to pass that God has called us to, and not just us here, but every church. We must bring that to pass. But you know what? If you do not have a relationship, let me clarify, back off of that. If you do not have fellowship, get that right, with God, if you're out of fellowship, then it becomes just a religious thing. Well, you know, I'm just going to work for God and help some folks, but I'm still doing my thing. You know, I'll sing. I'll even give. How many of you know you can't buy your way to heaven?
Amen.
You can give away everything you got, but it's not gonna get you in heaven. It's not gonna happen. But some folks work religiously trying to earn God's love. There's a song that they used to sing, and maybe some still sing. It's not a bad song, but I remember the first time I heard it, you know, "May the works I've done speak for me." Well, our work should speak for us. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that when we get to heaven, Jesus is going to reward us for our works, what we've done here on the earth in his name, right? Did you hear what I said? In his name. But we must have fellowship with him, because Jesus made another statement. He says, "There are many going to come before me and say, Lord, I prophesied in your name. Lord, I did many great and wonderful works in your name." But Jesus is going to say, "Depart from me," because all they had was their works. Those folks didn't even have a relationship with God. And I don't want to be in that group. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. I want to work for God, but I want to be in fellowship with Him. I don't have to earn my way to heaven. Jesus did that. I just need to be obedient. Are you still here? And so some of these folks were, they were just still in their dead works, the old Jewish laws and so forth. And remember, we won't go there, but some folks got upset with Jesus because his disciples did not wash their hands before they ate. Now, you have to understand something. We're speaking here of a ceremonial washing, not washing to get the germs off your hand. We're talking about a ceremonial washing under the Jewish law. And so, those folks were washing their hands. Jesus' disciples didn't do that. They didn't have the ceremonial washing. So the Pharisees and those folks around them, they were upset. Well, why didn't your disciples? And then Jesus rebuked them. Because it's not the works. It's the relationship. It's the fellowship, and it's the obedience to God. Amen. It's not dead works, as we read here in Hebrews chapter 6. It's not dead works. Hallelujah. You still here?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. And he went on to say, faith towards God. Let me read on verse 1 again. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on into perfection, that's maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Hallelujah. There are folks, even today, that are still not sure if they're saved. These little voices coming, well, you ain't saved. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. You should have done this. You should have done that. Listen. Next time that voice comes to you, or if you're dealing with this, this is the time right now to rebuke it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Just go ahead and just tell the devil, get out of my face. I'm not buying that. I've been washed in the blood.
Amen.
Jesus died for me.
Amen.
I am born again. And I'm born again not because of works, but it's because of his grace, because of his love. And I'm resting in that. Amen. Amen. And now understand something. When he's talking about faith towards God, he's not talking about not walking in faith and not living by faith. But there's a time when we need to be ready to go on into the deeper things of God. Are you still here?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Verse 2, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. I'll go into this a little more possibly next week, but I want to leave something with you as I close this evening. He said the doctrine of baptisms. Notice that word baptisms is plural. And some of you know this already because you've heard me teach it before. But there are three baptisms. And we'll go to some scripture maybe next week, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. But I want to throw this out at you, and you can do your own homework. The first baptism, remember the Bible says, and we'll go through the scriptures, there's one baptism. Let me say that a little different way. There's only one way to Jesus. And that is to be washed in the blood. Or you can say it this way, baptized in the blood. One of the major baptisms that the Bible talks about is the blood baptism, where we're washed in the blood. Oh, we sing about it, don't we? I'm washed in the blood. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. He shed his blood that washed my sins away. Amen. And then the second baptism is water baptism. When we're baptized in water, I'm not going to the scriptures tonight, but we'll cover them. When we're baptized in water, we're taken under the water, and then I know people are baptized in different ways, but I personally believe that according to the scriptures, we are to baptize by immersion. When we go under the water, that's telling us that we are buried with him. Our sins are buried with him. He took our sins to the grave, didn't he? But he rose again, free of our sins. So when we are baptized, when we are baptized in water, that's our testimony to the world, to heaven, to hell, whoever else is watching, that I'm born again, my sins are forgiven, and I'm clean because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory be to God. Man, I wish I had more time, but I'm not going to hold you here. But y'all come back next week. Let's deal with this some more. And the third baptism is, you probably know what it is, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The baptism with the Holy Spirit. We're going to visit this again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I do want to do this. I mentioned a verse of scripture. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4. And I'll close with this one, but we'll come back to it later. You have Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with suffering, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Listen at what he said here. Endeavoring to do what? Keep the unity of the Spirit in what? The bond of peace. Listen to this. There is what? One body and what? One Spirit. Just as you were called into what? One hope of your calling. Listen at this. There is what? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Glory to God. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That is, if you're born again. And how did he get in us? Through baptism.
Amen.
Not water baptism, but it's by his blood, his shed blood.
Amen.
Now, I used to think, and it was taught, that you get saved when you're baptized. Well, I guess that's possible if you, while you are going under the water, you ask Jesus into your heart, especially if you can't swim. All right. But again, water don't save anybody. If you're not born again, you're going in a dry sinner, and you're going to come out a wet one. Because water baptism is your testimony that I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a sinner. I'm born again through Christ Jesus. That is my testimony. Amen. Amen. Kathy and I were baptized twice. We actually got baptized again while we were in service. Because frankly, folks, when I was baptized the first time, I'm not sure. I don't think I was saved. I was just told, you going to be baptized? And so they baptized me. I had no idea what was going on. But the second time I was baptized, I knew I was born again. That's the reason I got baptized. Again, because I knew for sure, there was no doubt, I'm born again. I'm going to be baptized in water. Amen.
Amen.
And she joined me. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I do want to talk some more about that, but glory be to God. Father, we thank you for your word that will never return to you void. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the word of life.